I don't think a much better song will be this than Christ the solid rock I stand, no other ground is there for a believer. And this song is so apt for the message for today, wherein David is praying a prayer and he sees that there is only one on whom he can put his trust. We had meditated upon the Psalms, Psalms 86 verses 1 to 7 earlier. So I just want to give a recap of what we learned till now. So when we see the Psalms, the title says a prayer of David. A prayer, it is not mentioned in what situation it is he wrote this psalm. But we know that he was in a deep problem. And when we look in our background, we can also see that this psalm can be fit in every circumstances of our life. From verses 1 to 7 that we learned, we saw two questions that psalmist is trying to address. First was, why should God answer his prayer? And why he comes to God alone and nobody else for the prayer? From verses 1 to 4, we can understand why David is saying, why should God answer his prayer? First reason that he gave was in verse 1, says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Here David, the psalmist, is saying, I am humble, O Lord. I am coming to this your presence with all humility. In Isaiah, we read Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, the Lord dwells with a broken and contrite heart. Again, in James chapter 4 verse 6 reminds us that God gives grace to the humble. So we see David is coming to the Lord with all humility. Second reason that he gives why God should answer his prayer in verse 2. It says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. He's saying here, I am holy. I am set apart for your work. Like an ambassador of a country going to a different country. He is authorized to do the work of the country that has sent him. So here David is telling he is set apart for holiness. We see in New Testament it says, we ask anything according to his will and he will hear us. He has set us apart for his holiness, for his work. In verse 3 we see the third reason why God should answer his prayer. He says, for be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. We see here David, who is persistent in prayer. He is continuously pleading his prayer to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, we see the same thing. Pray without ceasing. We also saw that Jesus, he taught about through a story of a persistent widow who was pleading to an unjust judge. And Jesus is promising that God, who is righteous, and he will respond quickly to those who persist in prayer and who cry out to him daily. Fourth reason that we saw why God should answer his prayer was in verse 4. We saw, for rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. David is proclaiming that he has entrusted the most precious thing that he has to the Lord, his own soul that he has given to the Lord. And he is expecting the Lord will answer his prayer because he has entrusted his greatest treasure that he has to the Lord. In Romans chapter 8 verse 32 we read, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Whatever is necessary for the purpose for which the Lord has put us here, he will give, he will complete that purpose and he will answer to that prayer. So we see David is approaching to the Lord with confidence because he has entrusted the most precious things to the Lord. And second question that we see in the psalm that David is trying to address is in verse 5 and 6. We see why he comes to God alone for prayer. First reason he is giving in verse 5, for thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive. You see, the David is proclaiming, God is alone good. It is not the same word that we say always repeatedly, sounds good. No, good is the definition of perfect. There is nothing more to be added to that. When we see, when the Lord had completed his creation, he said to each and everything, he said, it is good. That is, it is perfect. Nothing more to be added. We see, we also saw about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And Jesus is telling, there is none good but one, that is God. And here David is proclaiming the best reason why he comes to God is that he alone can answer his prayer. Finally, if you saw in the same verse, he's saying, the Lord is plenteous in mercy. He is ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we read, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So we see a God who is ready to forgive. We do not have to give money to forgive our sins. We do not have to go to a pilgrimage to have our sins forgiven. But we only have to approach the Lord who has done his great deed for us by sending his only Son, Lord Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for our sins. When we put our trust to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has promised that he is able to save each one of us. And David knew that very well. So we saw why he came to God and no one else. And verse 6 and 7, he is reiterating his prayer. That's what we saw previously. Today I want to speak from verse 8 onwards about the attributes of God that David is trying to proclaim here. In verses 8, 9, and 10, David is giving three more reasons why God alone can answer his prayer. Verse 8, let me read for you. Verse 8, Psalms 86, verse 8. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are any works like unto thy work. Here David is proclaiming, God alone is unique. There is nobody else who can claim equivalence to God. He is alone unique. We see in this world, there are so many so-called gods. There are God-man, God-woman, and there are many idols. Here Bible is saying very clearly that among the gods, there is none like thee. When we discuss the character of God with our neighbors or with our colleagues or our friends, they have many, many, many ideas about God. They have many interpretations about God. And some people don't even believe in an existence of God. But you know, the Bible starts with the very proclamation, in the beginning, God. It does not try to prove the existence of God, but it tries, but it asserts the existence of God. In Psalms 14, verse 1, we read, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So Bible proclaims the very existence of God. In Psalms 14, verse 1, we see the fool has said in his heart. He did not say in the pulpit or the public place, but he just said in his heart. He didn't believe that there is a God. And Bible is labeling that person that he is a big fool. Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Some people might even say that everybody does not have the knowledge of God. They do not know about God. That is not true. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, let me turn your attention to Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So man can have no excuse. He will never have a chance to say, no, I do not know God. Because the creation itself manifests a creator, that is God. And we see here in Psalms, when we come back to Psalms 86, verse 8, among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. Here David is proclaiming, the work of the Lord cannot be compared with anybody else. He is saying, has any other God brought people out of bondage, like how what God had done for the people of Israel when he took them out of from Egypt to the land of Israel? Did any other God brought plagues that were brought on Egypt? Did any other God rain manna when they were in desert and provided for them? There is no other God who was able to do all this miraculous work. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6 to 8, we see a portion like this. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation. And let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to come. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witness. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any rock? I know of none. Here, Isaiah is telling, tell me if there is a God like me who can proclaim what will happen in the future, or who can tell what had happened in the past. There is nobody like him. Further, in verses 9 to 20, God is telling about a scenario of a foolish man. What he does, he cuts the tree, he burns a portion of the tree as a firewood, then he cooks his food on that, and a spare wood he makes an idol, and he worships that idol. And Bible saying it is all foolishness. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 44, verse 15 and to 20. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 15 to 20. It says, then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and maketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth and satisfied, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down into it and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth it in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to a stalk of tree? He feedeth on ashes, a deceived heart that turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Here we see, Bible is saying, a foolish man, such a foolish thing he is doing. He is cutting a portion of a tree, making food on that, and portion of it, he is creating an idol and worshipping it. And here Psalmist is saying that there is no other God, because all the gods that man has created are just idols, and this God is unique. In verse 9, we see another attribute of God. All nation whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Here we see this God, who is unique God, is an inevitable God. That means everybody in this world, one day or the other, he has to come to this God and he has to worship this Lord. In Isaiah 45 verse 23, we see, I have sworn by myself, the word have gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and I will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. Here we see one day or the another, all the people of this world have to come to this God and bow down and swear allegiance to him. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, where our Lord Jesus Christ, it is describing the qualities of our Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and to the glory of God the Father." The point that David is trying to make, one day or the other, all the people of this world, they are going to come and bow down and give their allegiance to God. And David wants to do it right there at that time. He is saying he is not going to bow down to any deity. He is not going to bow down before any idols, but he is going to bow down to a very true God, who is alone God. In verse 10, we see another attribute of God. Verse 10 says, "For thou art great and dost wondrous thing. Thou art God alone." Here, David is proclaiming that there is no other God. There is no other God, for all the gods of this world are idols. When we come to this, when we gather like this fashion, we are gathering to a true God. We are not in the business of praying to humans. We are not in the business to praying to phantoms or ghosts, but we are praying to a living God. In Isaiah 43, verse 8 to 13, it reads like this: "Bring unto the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together, so that the peoples may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witness, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, 'It is true. You are my witness, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there are no strange God among you. So you are my witness, declares the Lord. I am God, even from eternity I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act and who can reverse it?'" Here we see there is no God before him, and there is no God besides him. And David is proclaiming, and he is giving his allegiance to this true God, and to him alone he will present his supplications. In verse 11 to 13, we see his submissions to God's will. Till now, we have not seen what is the real purpose, or what does David need. Till now, we see the attributes of God. We saw two questions that David is trying to answer. And we see from verse 11 to 13, David is proclaiming his submission to God's will. Verse 11 reads, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." David is saying, till now, David hasn't listed his prayer request. Before he presents his request, he is reminding God, "God, whatever be the answer to my prayer, I am submitting myself to your will." Probably his prayer may be answered, probably his prayer may be rejected, but whatever may be, David is saying, "I am submitting myself to God's will. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." Whatever may be your answer, I am going to obey your commands. "And unite my heart to fear thy name." He is saying, I do not want to be a double-minded person, because James chapter 1 verse 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." David do not want to be a double-minded man. He wants God to unite his heart so that he will fear God's name and he will submit to God's will in his life. Verse 12 and 13, we see David, who is praising God, who is showing gratitude to this God. Verse 12 says, read, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy towards me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Here we see King David. He is giving glory and he is giving his allegiance to God. And in Romans chapter 1 verse 21, we see a group of people who never give thanks to what God has done for them. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart were darkened. David do not want to be unthankful in his heart. He, no matter whatever circumstances may be in his life, he want to be grateful to God, and he want to be thankful for what God has done for him. In verses 14 to 17, we see what is the real reason. Why did David pray to God? Verses 14 to 17 says, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul, and I have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Shew me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Finally, we see why did David was praying to the Lord. We do not know for what reason some people, some violent men were seeking after his own soul. When we read about David's history, we see there were many times wherein his life was in danger. Probably it may be any one of the circumstances wherein he had wrote this psalm, whatever may be. But here we see David, who is praying to God when he is in great danger. In verse 16 and 17, we see David is proclaiming that, O Lord, show me a token so that my enemies may see that the God is with David, and they may be ashamed, and they may be ashamed because the Lord is with David. When I read this portion, I was thinking of Elisha and his servant. When the servant, they were Elisha and servant were surrounded by many soldiers. Elisha is praying to God and asking to open the eyes of a servant so that the servant may see and see the so many angels and so many people are surrounding Elisha and his servant. Similarly, David is praying to God and is asking that the eyes of his enemies may be opened and they may be able to see that how God is helping David in his life. May this prayer of David help our prayer life, that when we pray, we may remember to whom we are praying. We may have the confidence that that our prayer are being recorded in heaven, that our prayer are being heard by an eternal God who was, who is, and who is to come. And he is the God who came down to this world as a sacrifice for our sins. And he is the God who has promised us he will be with us till the very end of this world. Such a great God, he has given a great hope for us that one day we will see this God face to face. May this message encourage our spiritual life. May his name be glorified.